The Reserve Bank is being accused of adding pressure to an already stretched housing market. The bank is offering to pump another $28 billion into the economy over the next couple of years through cheap loans to banks. Now, the scheme is the latest move to alleviate the economic hit, the wider hit from the pandemic. But the National Party says the new funding for lending program that it's called won't do anything to alleviate rapidly rising house prices. National's new Treasury spokesperson, Andrew Bailey, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Corin.
OK, if we could start first with this criticism of the Reserve Bank. I wonder if you would respond to David Seymour's claims this morning, or what you think of them, that the Reserve Bank is somehow being Muldoonish, if you like, and being unconventional.
Well, look, I think, just go back, you said I was criticising the Reserve Bank. What we're highlighting is that there has been significant new funding going into the housing market, but actually we've seen a reduction of lending to the business sector, and also the agriculture sector has basically had no further funding. So what we're doing is raising the issue that as a result of the Reserve Bank making funding available, unfortunately it's not going into the productive areas of the economy. That's the issue we've got. And the Reserve Bank, in fact, has some options in terms of how it can direct credit going into more productive areas of the economy.
But there's nothing unconventional. I just want to get this from National. Is there anything unconventional about what the Reserve Bank is doing? They're responding to one of the worst recessions in a generation, and they're using tools which seem to be used right around the world.
Yeah, of course they are, but the Reserve Bank has options about how it can go about putting further credit into the banking sector, and it should be doing that.
What are those options then?
Well, it can be doing it can do, as you say, the funding for lending scheme. It can do what it's doing at the moment. That's not the issue, Corin. The big issue is the way that it can introduce that credit into the banking system. Now,
just to stop you there, so you're saying, is there a way that $28 billion could be given out that goes to the banks where they have to lend it to businesses and not to houses?
Well, there are already options around that. So the funding for lending program that you refer to, in Australia, the Reserve Bank in Australia has adopted an approach that it has to go into more productive areas of the economy. And even the LVR system, which the loan-to-value system that has previously been introduced, that can also be directed in a way that doesn't restrict first-time buyers. And if there's any restriction, for instance, that would stop first-time buyers buying a home, then yes, we would have an issue. If the credit allows people to buy and sell existing houses, and that's where most of the money ends up, then that is an issue.
Okay.
We would rather see, if you're going to allow and pump more credit into the market, and that's not the issue. If that's required, that's required. But our strong view is make sure you direct that money so first-time buyers get the opportunity to buy a house rather than people buying and selling existing houses. And also, and much more importantly, we've seen about $8 billion go out of the business lending part of the banking sector over the last 5 years.
Okay, but this isn't the Reserve Bank's responsibility here. The issue is the banks are the ones that are reluctant to lend to businesses because they, for whatever reason, they're risky or whatever it is. The Reserve Bank is simply using the funding for lending program as a monetary policy tool to reduce interest rates across the board. That is its job, its mandate. Why should it direct the banks what to do? They have to make their own decisions.
Yeah, but Corin, Reserve Banks have that option and have that capacity and capability to do exactly what I'm just saying. That is part of the mandate and should be part of the mandate. If we've seen a lending going into parts of the economy that are inappropriate, then the Reserve Bank should deal with that.
Okay, so are you suggesting, Mr. Bailey, that the mandate between the Reserve Bank and the government should be changed to include things such as consideration of, you know, asset prices, of house prices, when they are making these decisions?
No, you've now migrated to a new area. But I'm just saying that the bank has lots of options as to how it can introduce the money into the banking sector. And Reserve Banks around the world do take different stances and do require the funding to go in different ways. So the bank has that option.
Okay, but can I just come back to that? Because you're saying, okay, let's say hypothetically they say this money has to go towards businesses. The banks have to lend it to businesses. They might just not do it. They won't lend it. Then it won't do anything.
Well, that's the option. The Reserve Bank can require that.
But it can't make the banks lend the money.
No, it can't make the banks lend the money. But as you all know, Corin, the easiest form of lending is actually on house mortgages. So the much more difficult part of property lending actually is to help developers. At the moment, I haven't got the exact numbers, but I would suggest that it's virtually impossible to get funding for development projects to build new houses in New Zealand. And so that's because one of the reasons is, yes, banks have a choice, but one of the reasons, as you probably know, the way that the capital structures are set up, it's much more favourable for banks to lend to the housing sector. And all I'm saying is that there are various options and various tools that the Reserve Bank could employ. It's up to the Reserve Bank to do that, but it does have options, and Australia Reserve Bank has chosen to do that.
Okay. Just very quickly, you've taken on this role as treasurer or shadow treasurer for the National Party. Are you likely to start a debate about tax cuts? Because I see during the height of the pandemic, you wrote a paper in which you suggested tax cuts are not the answer, which would, of course, appear to contradict the National Party's tax cut policy at the election.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of misunderstanding there. So during the election campaign, we suggested tax cuts as a short-term measure, and it had an 18-month time frame, as a way to stimulate the economy. It was not about putting in place long-term tax changes or tax reductions.
No, but your policy paper says, my personal view is that circumstances have changed. Tax cuts only favour those still working and only realised progressively through PAY reductions during the course of the year. And you preferred a helicopter approach of giving people money.
Yeah, what I was writing about is whether the option of having long-term tax cuts at that point in the cycle would be beneficial. And then I was saying no. But in terms of looking at tools to stimulate the economy in a short-term measure, during the election, we suggested that as an option. Clearly now we're going into a different, that hasn't been and won't be implemented. But it was around stimulating the economy. It wasn't about necessarily having long-term tax cuts. And that's, so you're confusing the two issues in what I wrote about.
Well, just looking at what you say, you say many countries around the world are simply given a $1,000 cash check to individuals. This means the benefit is immediate and delivered at the point of most need. Isn't that precisely the point? It's a temporary measure. You're saying that tax cuts aren't as good as cash handouts.
No. Again, the immediate cash benefit was another form of stimulation, short-term stimulation. So I was merely saying in that paper, there are different options. One of them could be, and Australia did it, for instance, to hand out cash payments to people to get them to stimulate the economy in the short term. We chose during the election to talk about a tax cut for an 18-month period. We weren't talking about a long-term tax reduction. And obviously, we're not talking about that at the moment. So both of them were mechanisms to stimulate the economy in the short term.
Okay. Andrew Bailey, thank you very much for your time. That's National's new Treasury spokesperson, Andrew Bailey.